Welcome to the season of Advent. Advent is a season of rich darkness, a pregnant pause awaiting the joy that is to come. Advent is a season of hope, a flickering light in the pervading darkness. Advent is the first season in the church's liturgical calendar, and it begins with the end. The end of all things, when the Son of Man will return and life as we know it will end. It then traverses back again to the first Advent, the coming of God in the flesh as a baby born to a young virgin girl named Mary. And so we begin this Advent, as we begin every Advent, with the end. For many of us, it's not difficult to consider the end. We seem to be reminded of it and inundated with images of the end every day. We have experienced incredible loss and destruction of land, relationships, and lives. Just this year alone, our state has been terribly burned. Our country has experienced devastating hurricanes and earthquakes. We've experienced the loss of loved ones and the loss of beloved Christian leaders like Billy Graham and Eugene Peterson. Large-scale abuse has been uncovered yet again in the Catholic Church. Relationships between men and women have become increasingly severed and irreconcilable. Terrorist attacks have continued around the world. Families have been separated by divorce and politics, senseless mass shootings, and the list goes on and on. This is just this year. And then there is, of course, your own list of the terrible things that have happened. Perhaps it's because I'm older than I once was, but I have never before heard so many people wishing for the year to end. 2018 has been a very difficult year for many people, and it's impossible to remain untouched by the pain around us. The news has been too much to bear and has settled into our collective unconscious. It's understandable to see people become completely untethered and despair. Romans 8:22 seems to be a perfect expression of our time. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Creation has been groaning. We are groaning. We are longing for hope. We need hope. And Jesus' audience needed hope too, and they didn't even yet know it. Jesus was about to be betrayed and handed over to the authorities to then be crucified. His disciples would run away in fear, and then later they would be persecuted. They had no idea what they were in for. Open your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 21. At the beginning of Luke 21, Jesus is teaching in the temple. We find this out in verse 20. Jesus is with his disciples in the court of women, and he sees a woman depositing her last two coins into the temple treasury. He commends this woman to his disciples, and then his disciples comment on their fascination of the beautiful stones of the temple and of the great gifts that people offer to God. Verse 5. Jesus then says, "As for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down." Jesus here is referring to the destruction of the temple, which would happen during the first Jewish-Roman war in 70 AD. Of course, his disciples don't know about this coming war, so they ask, verse 7, "When will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they will take place?" Jesus replies, "Watch out that you are not deceived. For many will come in my name claiming, 'I am he,' and the time is near. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and revolutions, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away." Jesus, in his genius, replies in a somewhat cryptic way to his disciples' question. The disciples want to know when not one stone will be left on another, and what will be the sign that these things will take place. Jesus tells them in response to watch out that they are not deceived, to be aware of false messiahs, not to be frightened when they hear of wars and revolutions, and that this will not be the end. Jesus answers neither of their questions. He does not tell them when the temple will be destroyed, nor what signs to look for. He tells them instead to watch out, and that the end of the temple will not be the end. Before anything takes place, however, Jesus tells them, verse 12, that they will be persecuted. They will be brought before kings and governors on account of Jesus, and this will result in their being witnesses to the kings and governors. Their families will turn against them, and they will be hated. But by standing firm, verse 19, they will gain life. They will be persecuted. The temple and Jerusalem will be destroyed. The people will flee to Judea, and then the end will come. And here we begin our text for this morning, verse 25. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. But what signs? Jesus doesn't say. On earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world. For the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, for your redemption, your rescue, is near. At the end, there will be chaos above and chaos below. People will be terrified and faint. The Son of Man will come down with power and great glory. And Jesus' disciples are to stand up, lift up their heads, for their redemption, their rescue is near. So Jesus here does not describe specific signs or a specific timeline, but a time of chaos and fear. Jesus' disciples are not to faint. They are to stand up, lift up their heads, for their rescue is near. Now, among Christians, there are a variety of views of the end, largely based on interpretations of the book of Revelation. There are the premillennialists and the postmillennialists, who have particular timetables and timelines of when they believe Jesus will come. And then there are the amillennialists, who do not believe that there is a known timetable of Jesus' return. Lutherans have historically been amillennialists, believing that the second advent of Jesus has an unknown timetable, and the book of Revelation is largely not meant to be read literally. Jesus in Luke 21 gives a list of signs, but no specifics, and provides an indication that the end will sneak up on us like a trap. Verse 34, "Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with excessive drunkenness and the anxieties of life, and that day will come upon you unexpectedly, like a trap." In other words, do not be like the people who faint from terror or who are surprised at the chaos. Stand up, lift up your heads, because your rescue is coming. Verse 36, "Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man." Now, this verse requires some language work. The Greek word used here for watch is not the typical word used for watch. This word can be translated be alert or watch over. And the word used for time is not the chronological word chronos, but a word that some of you know from your huddle groups, kairos or kairos. And kairos is viewed as an occasion rather than an event of time and is often associated with God's appointed or proper time. So these first five words can be translated, be alert on every occasion. And then comes that word pray. This also is not the typical word in Greek used for pray. This is a word used when people have begged Jesus to heal them. This word can be translated beg or pray. So then let's read verse 36 with this new translation. Be alert on every occasion and pray, beg that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Jesus here does not give his disciples or future disciples knowable signs of the end. If that were the case, it would not come upon us like a trap. And he warns his disciples to be alert on every occasion, not to watch for signs, to beg God that we might escape the terrors, and to stand before the Son of Man. But if we are not watching for signs, for what are we watching? For what are we alert? We are alert for all that threatens our allegiance and our hope. We are alert for all that threatens our allegiance and our hope. Our allegiance is not to this world, but to the God who created this world. Our hope is in his promise to be with us, and that one day he will make all things right. And so we wait for God's presence, his incarnation to us in the midst of chaos and despair. Advent is not the "this is fine" meme. Do any of you know that meme, this is fine? Okay, some of you, good. Okay, the Lazarus didn't know. Okay, so "this is fine" is this meme of six pictures of this dog, this anthropomorphic dog that has this smile with teeth like a human and is sitting in this building that's burning around him, and he's sitting in front of this cup of coffee. So in the first strip, the dog is sitting on this chair and he's smiling, saying, "This is fine." He then takes a sip of coffee as the flames come closer and says, "I am okay with the events that are unfolding currently." The flames then reach his arm and it begins to melt, and then he says, "That's okay. Things are going to be okay." The next image you see is of this dog melting with a smile on his face. Advent is not the "this is fine" meme. Advent is clearly seeing the chaos and despair around us, naming evil for what it is, and living in hope. Advent is lighting a candle in the darkness, aware of the chaos, evil, and darkness around us, but refusing to succumb to it. Advent is hope in a season of despair. Advent is deciding to have children when you know that you won't always be able to protect them. Advent is getting up each morning when it seems like a struggle to live one more day. Advent is caring for your wife when she no longer remembers who you are. Advent is praying for your parents when they have deeply hurt or disappointed you. Advent is not being able to walk, but deciding that God is not through with you yet, and so you call other people to encourage them. Advent is not feeling or knowing where God is at the moment, but continuing to seek him anyway. Advent is lying on your deathbed and directing the family choir as they sing you one final hymn. Advent is allowing yourself to love again after losing your best friend. Advent is caravanning with a group of refugees to hear their story and to care for them when you know that you don't have influence to do more. Advent is distributing food to your neighbors when you know you can't solve the global hunger crisis. Advent is caring for 15 homeless women when you can't solve homelessness. Or, as Martin Luther once said, "If I knew tomorrow that the world would go to pieces, I would still plant my apple tree." Watch and pray, dear friends, and live in the season of Advent. Hope, for God is near, and your hope will one day become sight. Jesus will come once again, take hold of the powers of chaos, and make all things right. O tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. O tidings of comfort and joy. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for not leaving us alone, but for sending Jesus that first time. We thank you for his continued presence with us. And Lord, we hope, we look forward to the day when he will come again and make all things right. Lord, we know that our hope will not disappoint us because you have promised that Jesus will come again and make all things right. We pray for those who are experiencing incredible despair. Lord, be with them. Bring them hope. Bring them your spirit in this dark season. Help us to live in this season of Advent, this season of hope. Lord, transform our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.